Welcome to Under the Rubble, where we talk you through renovating our 1930s property with no idea what we're doing.
We take you through our experiences, our mistakes, and the stuff you really want to know, like how to deal with the stress of a 9-to-5 job, renovating in the evenings, and still manage to function as a human being.
Or what do you do if your tradesperson has disappeared with your money, or how to cope if your plasterer starts randomly freestyling in your living room.
Or how did we build our social media following to 25k in just 6 months?
I'm Lawrence, and this is Soph.
And we hope this helps you along your renovation journey.
Under the rubble, under the rubble, under the rubble, under the rubble.
Hello, and welcome to episode 2 of Under the Rubble with me, Lawrence. And my partner in crime today is the same as last week.
And every day.
And every day. Okay, so what are we going to run through today? Episode 2 was about buying and selling our property.
Yep. So, yeah, how we bought this house, sold our last. It was a nightmare, but also nice. That whole experience. And money. The money chat. Mm. Mm-hmm. You probably know not a lot about this.
I don't know really anything
because you weren't really involved. Yeah. You just kind of turned up.
Well, I didn't have any access to my phone, so you had to do it all.
Although, and you got to the house before me. You got all of the good bits, but none of the rubbish bits.
How did I get to the house before you?
Because we drove here from our old house, yeah. And you got here because I had to bring the cats.
Yeah, that's a story in itself.
That is.
Okay, so let's start from the beginning. We had a little flat, a little masonette on the outskirts of London. Well, it was on the end of the Metropolitan line. And we were in Bristol.
I think we were just like toying with the idea. We were like, oh, maybe let's just go and see some properties. Let's like not commit to anything. Let's not put ours on the market because we don't know really what we're doing and we don't want to be in that panic phase. And then we saw a house that we liked pretty much on the first time.
Did we then put our house on the market after that?
Yeah, that's when it started. Because we saw it, we wanted it straight away, and then we had to manically scrabble around to try and get our house on the market within days.
Yeah. We did get our house pretty quick.
Yeah.
But our house did not sell quickly.
No.
And I'm putting it down to the fact that nobody needed a house near London anymore because everybody was working from home. Therefore, our house kind of plummeted and no one needed that connection house straight into London when they could buy a really nice house for the same price outside of London and it would be a lot bigger, it would have a garden and everything.
Yeah.
And it was a really rubbish time to sell our house.
It was. We were also coming, so our property was a leasehold flat,
yeah,
and it didn't have many years left on the.
It had loads of years left.
That's the annoying thing.
It had a human's lifespan.
Yeah, it had 93 years left on the lease, but people start to get worried about it when it drops sort of beyond 90. So that was putting the value down. Yeah. Oh, it's just a nightmare. People were asking us if we'd extend the lease, and it was just not really in our minds to be doing that. Mm-hmm. So it was crazy. But yeah, that's the first thing that I think that we should share, the whole getting our property on the market and the agents, the how it works, that kind of thing. Did you meet any of the estate agents?
No, I didn't meet any. Oh, I met them when I picked up the keys. Dropped off the keys.
Yeah, because we had a big problem with ours, didn't we?
Well, so we had 3 estate agents come round, I think.
Yeah, Purple Bricks were, they were clearly the cheapest, but they also valued our house lower than what we sold it for. And he was like adamant. He was like, you're not going to get more than this. Everyone else will tell you you will get more than this, but you won't. And then ultimately we ended up selling for more than what he said. So.
Yeah, so he said 300,000, didn't he?
I think so, yeah.
And this is a 2-bed masonette. And we ended up going with a different estate agent that said, oh, you'll definitely get 345,000.
Yeah, he was sure of it. And I questioned him as well, because I was like, I really don't think, I think this is way over. We bought the property 4 years prior to that for $267,000.
Yeah.
$267,000. So we were still making money, even on the lowest one, although we did pump a lot of money into it. Yeah. So I don't know. We were probably about even if we went for $300,000. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he was adamant that we were going to sell it for $345,000. And I was like, you need to show me the proof, like, what ones have you sold? And he did, to be fair to him. So we were like, okay, let's go for it. Like, he was he was super confident, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And I was like really, really grilling him about it. So yeah, we felt like it was a good decision. And he was marketing at 1% commission, which was also a fair rate at the time. Most of them were about 1%, so that seemed normal. And then he just, as soon as we signed, and
as soon as we signed up to a contract, I think it was about 16 weeks.
Yeah, it was a long time. I remember, like, not really realizing, I just signed the contract and was like, yeah, because we were in such a rush to get it on the market and get the pictures done, get it on Rightmove so that we could put an offer in for this other place. I didn't really look through the contract that well, and then it was only when things started to go wrong that I then looked at the contract and was like, crap, like, we're stuck with these people for so long.
So for what went wrong, it was the fact that we put it on for 345,000. Within a couple of weeks, we got no views, no, obviously no offers. If you're not getting views, you're not getting offers. So then his suggestion was to take it down to 335,000, I think. 10 grand less or something.
Yeah, it was, I think it was like maybe even 20 grand. It was like a big chunk, and we were like, we agreed to it, didn't we?
Yeah.
It was sensible, like, we wanted to move quick.
Yeah.
And then it still just sat there, and we were like, what's going wrong? You were like so sure that it was going to sell for this price, and he put it down to like the market, and well, there's so many flats around now, it's saturating the market, blah, blah, blah. I just think that he massively oversold it to us so that he could get us a contract. That personally, that's my opinion.
I think we actually lost the house that we originally put our house on the market for, right?
Yeah. It was so sad. It was so nice.
It was like, such a nice house.
But looking back, it wasn't for us.
So yeah, on week 12, when we went to the realisation that we needed to do something different, we went back to the estate agent and pretty much said, look, you've lost us kind of 20 grand here and you're still gaining 1% commission off this, which doesn't make, 20 grand to you doesn't make a lot of a difference, but it makes a huge difference to us.
And he's wasted our time and the house that we wanted. Like, yeah. We couldn't get that because of him now.
Yeah, that's true. So we said, okay, we'll take it down to 315,000. And your commission has to go down. And I think his commission down went to 0.8 or 0.84 or something.
Yeah, it was 0.8, I think.
And I think we sold on week 15 or something. We had like a week left of the contract.
It was exactly like 5 days after we did that, I think.
Yeah.
That we got a buyer.
Yeah.
And even then, the estate agent was trying to knock us down. So they came in at like 305 or something like that. And he was like, oh no, this is the max. They're definitely not going to go any higher than that. And we had a chat and we were like, oh, shall we just take it like and run? But we held back, didn't we?
Because at this point, we had lost our house. We hadn't found anywhere in Bristol anymore. Therefore, we weren't in a rush anymore. So they were offering 305,000 and then eventually went to 310,000 and we still stuck out at 315,000, didn't we?
Yeah.
We didn't go any lower.
Yeah. And the whole time the estate agent was trying to tell us that we should keep going lower. Yeah. And we stuck to our guns. And that would be like my advice, that like if you've been messed around by an estate agent, do not fall for their crap. Because he was just trying, he knew that it was right at the end of the contract and he needed to get a sale, otherwise he was going to get nothing.
Yeah.
So he was massively pushing us down and down and down. And I feel like you get a gut feeling of like, this, he's just desperate now.
Yeah.
And he was so desperate. And we got an extra £10,000.
Yeah.
which is so, so handy now doing the renovation.
Yeah. So, the next part we're going to go through is buying our beloved 65.
The best bit. Maybe we're going to start with what we were looking for. What were you looking for when we were house buying?
I wanted to find the biggest possible project, didn't I? I always wanted to find the house that had so much potential, but it was like they had 50 cats. And I don't know, all of their cats then had kittens, and some of those kittens were in the walls.
What the hell? This has escalated.
And all the kittens had cats.
Are you just obsessed with cats?
And then their kittens' cats had kittens.
What's that got to do with the house as well?
And then all of them had hairballs that were everywhere, and you basically saw them as carpets. That's the sort of property I was looking for.
Right. Did you see any like that?
Very little.
Yeah, I've not seen that right move. you actually showed me some properties on Right Move that one of them was just a cave. Do you remember that one? You were like, come and have a look at this one. You showed me it, and it was literally a cave.
Yes, I do remember that.
Like, we were just gonna, you know, pack up our bags and the cats and just go and live in a cave.
Mm.
Like, both agreed that we wanted something that needed, that had potential to have an extension or to have major building work done to it.
We wanted something bigger than we were doing in our last place.
Yeah, more than just like painting the walls. We wanted like a project to like make the house completely ours. Yeah, and we kind of compromised in the middle, didn't we?
Mm.
We ended up slightly further out than you would want, but
yeah,
with all the stuff I wanted, maybe I won.
Yeah, you
thinking about it now, I'm like, did we compromise?
I think when we go through a lot of this podcast, you will realise that I have very little input into majority of the stuff that happens. I'm just a man that's turned up.
You're not just a man that's turned up.
Okay.
I'm a nerd that
turned up.
You said you liked this house before I did.
That is true. I got in the car and couldn't stop smiling, and Sophie was very unsure.
Yeah.
She just thought it was too much of a big step, didn't you?
Yeah. Scared. Scary. You cannot just phone up an estate agent on a Friday and be like, can I view the house tomorrow morning? And I don't know why that's not a thing. Because I'm not organised enough to think ahead, really. And then driving so far to go and view properties, I just feel like there should be more available all the time. Especially on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Why are they not available on Saturday? And as well, we had loads of cases. Sorry, I probably went really loud and high-pitched then.
You did, yeah.
We had loads of cases because of COVID that we'd phone up and say, oh yeah, this property looks really good, can we have a look? And they'd be like, oh no, they're not accepting viewings because of COVID. And like, they just, for months on end, would not let anyone in the house. I'm like, take your house off the market then, surely.
Yeah.
Who's buying a house without seeing it? Like, it would really anger me. Or the amount of times we'd phoned up and they were like, oh yeah, it's just been sold. I'm like, how are these houses being on the market for 2 hours and getting sold when ours has been on the market for like 10 weeks now?
Yeah.
It was heartbreaking, to be honest. But yeah, you have to be super organised and book everything on a Monday if you want to go see it on a Saturday.
Yeah, that's the thing. A lot of people in the midweek, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, don't view houses. They don't view them very often. They do sort of the evening ones. So if you see someone on Monday, it's likely that it will be there on the Friday, but probably not on the Saturday, especially in the current market. They sell so quick. With our house, I think I took the day off on a Friday, didn't I?
Yeah, both of us did. Yeah.
So we took the day off because we saw this place and we're like, this could be the one.
That's how we know. We took the day off to go and see the house. Like, surely we must have, like, both in on the same page.
We did see three other houses, though.
Yeah, but I think we both knew this one was the most potential.
Yeah, so we booked the day off on the Friday, went down, saw it. We made a bid on the Saturday morning?
No, it was a Friday. So we were driving home and we both sort of agreed to it. He'd already told us that there was three more viewings on the Saturday. It'd only been on the market 2-3 days, something like that week. But we thought if we saw it on the Friday early, before everyone else, we can get in there. Because we were just getting, like, we weren't even getting to see places because they were just getting off the market. So, yeah, we were driving home and we were like, let's just do it. Just call them and put in an offer. You wanted to just offer asking price, yeah, didn't you?
In my logic, I was prepared to pay that amount of money for this house. That's how much I thought it was worth. I agreed. And I'm always a bit scared of haggling in case they say no. Sophie has more balls.
Yeah, I don't mind a bit of haggling.
So what did you suggest we went for?
Yeah, I mean, I would have gone at asking price because I think at the end of the day, it's like, how much are you willing to pay for that? How much do you want it there and then? And we thought it was a very good price for what it was, based on other houses in the road were going for that similar kind of price. This was cheap, actually, compared to other houses. So, yeah, we would have paid that, but I just thought, let's just take a little bit off. Let's just, like, it could save us. It could maybe pay for a new bathroom or something like that. Let's just take off $5,000. And I think I wanted to take off more than that as well. And we kind of met in the middle.
Scared.
Yeah, because it was like, it makes you panic because everything's going so quickly. Yeah. You're like, if I get it wrong, if I upset them in any way, I'm out. So yeah, we just went $5,000 below just to be a little bit cheeky, but we were willing to sort of meet them at their price.
On that Friday, pretty much maybe 3 hours after we saw it or something.
Yeah.
Just as soon as we got home, went into the bedroom, phoned them, told them what the offer is.
Yeah.
And maybe it wasn't very long. It was like a half an hour to an hour later, he phoned back and said, they accept.
Yeah.
And we were buzzing.
Yeah.
Absolutely buzzing. But the biggest part of the whole thing that I still don't understand is houses were going like no one's business, like so quick. And he had viewings on the Saturday, three viewings on a Saturday where he could have just waited and then we'd be back into that bidding war style thing, which I think we'll get onto later. But he just went, okay, we accept. If you sign here and here, blah, 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 we'll take it off the market and we'll cancel those viewings on Saturday.
Yeah. Part of me didn't believe him.
I didn't believe him.
I don't feel like he's going to do that.
Why? Why did he do that? It was not in his interest at all to do that.
I don't know.
I know it's quick because at this point, we were in such a strong position, which is another thing actually we should mention. When you have sold a house compared to someone who is selling a house, estate agents love you.
They look at you so differently.
So different.
Yeah. We even got told that before we'd sold our flat, that we couldn't view properties if we hadn't sold it.
Yeah, that was so annoying.
And it's like, you kind of get in this vicious circle because you're like, what about if I sell my house and then I can't find anywhere? What about if I found someone but I can't sell my house? And we were in that, in both of those situations. But selling your house and then trying to find somewhere is 100% the easiest option out of the two.
Yeah.
We had 3 months where we couldn't find anywhere to go, and we were debating we're going to have to rent for a period of time because we can't find a house. We don't want to settle for something that we don't want. But then, thank the Lord, this house came on the market and we jumped on it. But we managed to exchange and complete together because our last property was a leasehold, and it was just a pain in the backside because you have to involve the leaseholder in all the negotiations. Again, it's probably new to you, Lawrence. but the leaseholder, they were just taking, I think they took 3 months to like answer a query. And I was like really losing my rag towards the end because I was like, you're going to lose us this sale because you're taking so long. So yeah, it took us 6 months to sell because of the leasehold property and 3 months to buy. So luckily we managed to do it all on the same day, which was so nice.
Yeah. One of the other places that we liked, I'm so glad we didn't get it, but we did like ish this place. And we got put in a bidding war. So what that means is everyone who... I think there was three other people who wanted it. This other place that we were looking at.
Yeah.
Everyone puts in a blind bid. So they obviously still suggest the asking price. Everyone puts in a blind bid. I think we put in maybe 25 grand less than the asking price or 15 yeah. or something.
We didn't really want it that bad though.
Yeah.
Which was convenient.
Because it didn't quite fit any of our bills, but we were so desperate. So we did put in an offer and it was horrible. I didn't like that process at all.
No.
We were actually walking around Harry Potter's Hogwarts experience in Watford.
We were, yeah. We were having
a butter beer.
A butter beer, yeah. And we were like, oh, what should we go in with?
Yeah.
It makes you feel so, like, adult to, like, be negotiating that. So it's funny, like, I will not spend, I don't know, £2 on a can of baked beans, right, because I think that's expensive. But happily,
I will happily
just be like, yeah, just add another 10k to that house price.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah.
When you're talking that sums of money, it doesn't even seem real that you're just like Laura, our mortgage broker, can we afford it? She goes, yes, and you just throw money at the estate agent.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
On that Friday, as I mentioned, on Saturday, he could have had three other people. We would have been in bidding war, and he chose not to. And we're very grateful, because I don't know if we would have got this place if three other people... Because we thought this place was cheap.
We would have paid massively over the odds.
Yeah.
And that as well. If you're in a blind bid or silent, whatever they're called, closed envelope bid, I don't know what they're called.
Yeah.
It is a just blind bid. Stick with your what you would pay. Don't massively, because that's what they want you to go massively over, and they get a commission, and it's all in the estate agent's pocket.
Yeah,
and the seller, I guess, as well. But you because you will regret it if you pay massively over.
Mm-hmm.
So just stick to your guns. Something else will come up.
Yeah,
it did for us, and it always does.
Yeah, it did take a while, and we were worried. That's why they don't do a bid where everyone sees everyone else's bid. Because then you'd be like, oh, well, I'll just...
go a pound over that
Or I don't want to pay that much. They can have it.
Yeah.
But yeah, just bid within your own means. And I know that's pretty obvious, but when you're in that moment, it is... Mm. You feel pressured to do it.
You do.
To bid higher than what you want. Okay, so red flags to look out for, Sophie.
I think if it had... rising damp, it wouldn't put me off, but I would be like, oh, that's a problem.
Oh, I've got a massive one. Big red flags. If you turn up to a property and there are fucking loads of pigeons on the roof, if there's hundreds of pigeons and you ask the estate agent, oh, that's a lot of pigeons, isn't it? And they go, oh, yes, that's unusual for here. Don't believe them. Those pigeons will be there for life.
Yeah.
They don't go away. They come back. 7 a.m. they're here. 4 o'clock they leave. It's like they're doing a shift. Watch out for the animals is my red flag.
Yeah. Yeah. That we did possibly overlook that. I just thought maybe it's a Bristol thing. Maybe there's lots of pigeons in Bristol. It's not. That's a... got a slightly mad neighbour situation. Structural problems would probably be...
How do you know? How do you know if there's structural problems?
Well, I didn't really, but I've heard something about diagonal cracks in walls. You know, does it look wonky? Does the house look wonky?
I'm not sure. A red flag. Your top one red flag can be something you don't know anything about.
Well, I've since read a survey and they said something about that. Yeah, I'd probably buy anything, to be honest.
I don't think anything, really.
Yeah.
can't be fixed.
I think it's more a case of just being aware that it's there and that it will cost you. Get a survey.
Oh, yeah.
Get a good survey.
A good survey is important. Especially if you're looking at do a wrapper. If you are like, oh, well, I'm going to buy it anyway, get the best survey. And then you can budget that. Like, because they told us at the very beginning, your house has woodworm. That's about $1,000. So we're like, okay, well, it's not going to be a shock when we get in and have to spend $1,000.
And also, you then know how to plan your stuff. So we knew that we had woodworm, and then that would take them to access every floorboard in the house, and it would, like, we'd have to move everything out. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of knew, don't move too much stuff in, because they're going to have to, like, fumigate the place or whatever it's called, which we did.
How much did it cost to... for the solicitors. How much were the solicitor costs?
I prepared this earlier.
Oh, go on.
You'll be pleased to know. So, for our sale and purchase, we paid $1,600 plus VAT, which is, I think, $1,900-ish. Which is actually crazy money to buy and sell a house. That also includes all of the searches and stuff like that.
How much did we have to pay the estate agent?
So we paid 0.8% of 315, which I think is $2,500. Please forgive me if my maths is wrong. I've got a maths degree and I can't do maths.
Okay, how much did we pay the mortgage broker?
So we didn't actually pay anything. So our mortgage broker is a lovely lady called Laura, and she used to work with my mum, so she's a family friend. She normally charges £200 plus the commission that she gets. She gets a commission either way. You don't pay more for your mortgage for her to get that, but she just charges us commission. So we didn't pay anything for that. And I would 1,000,000% advise a mortgage broker, because we had no idea about mortgages, and she's really good. She just sorts out everything for us. And whenever it comes up, when the term comes up, she sorts it out. Done.
Yeah. But to counteract that, you can do a lot of it yourself.
Yeah.
So don't be too scared about the mortgage life situation. Just read up and you can do it yourself. But we had such a good experience with Laura that we just kept doing it with Laura.
Mm. I would say that you can take out, is it life insurance? They try and sell you life insurance because they get commission on the life insurance. I think they get more commission out of that than they do a mortgage. So they'll try and push it. But you don't need life insurance. You need home insurance for a mortgage. You don't need life insurance. We don't have life insurance. We'll assess that at a later stage, but we've took on that risk that something happens to one of us, the other one will have to deal with it.
Yeah. And they do try and push to tell you that you do need it.
Yeah.
But you don't.
Mm-hmm.
So we've come to the end of episode 2 of Under the Rubble. I hope that it has been insightful for anyone who's going through the same process of buying and selling a house. And good luck if you are, especially if you're buying a renovation. And make sure you message us at Renin65 on either Instagram or TikTok so that we can have a look, because I am nosy. And the next episode will be all about costs. We'll try and be as open and honest as possible. Again, if you have any questions beforehand, fire them over to us and we will answer as much as we can and try and be as helpful as possible. See you next week, guys.
Under the rubble, under the rubble. Under the rubble.